Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
Welcome, listeners. We are so glad you've joined us on the river today. This is Jeannie St. John Taylor, and my co-host and dear friend, Maxine Marcellini, is here with me. Hi, Maxine.
Hi, Jeannie. I'm so excited to be with you today.
Yeah, me too. And you just had a great day, a great week at Cannon Beach, right?
Oh, I know. I'm fresh off of family camp at Cannon Beach. And,
you're fresh?
Full of family interaction and fresh off the beach. Not fresh, Jeannie. You have that title.
Sorry. Well, I had wet pants this morning.
I know. She texts me with a wet pants story. I'm saying, what? You're going to have to explain to everybody since you
My year and a half old granddaughter was sitting on my lap, and I was reading to her, and I forgot I had not yet changed her diaper. She just got up. And so when she got up the second time off my lap, we both needed to change our pants. So there you go. But it was well worth it. Well, Maxine, let's not take too long to chat today because our guests are so much fun. You know what I think about these two ladies? I think they're so much fun that we could talk about oatmeal and everybody would love it.
And it would
That's
matter.
What I think. They'd add their own cinnamon and cloves and pepper, whatever is needed. So we have today with us, did you know we lost one of our guests, Maxine, before they even got here?
Well, she's where she needs to be, but you can tell the listeners all about it.
She is, yes. Listeners, we're not going to have Angela Ruth Strong with us. They'll tell you a little bit about that. But we do have our other two favorite guests. We have Sherry Ashcraft, and I'll tell you a little bit about her. She has been interested in writing since she was a young child, but she didn't start until her late 40s to actually write. Since then, she has written a book with her daughter, Christina Tarabocchia, who we'll introduce you to in a minute. And along with Christina, they formed a traditional small press, Ashbury Lane Publishing. That's a real huge step, and I can't even believe they did it. She has been married to the same man for nearly 44 years. Oh, that's it. She had to spice up her life. She's worked as a foreign missionary, a teacher, and a nurse specializing in Alzheimer's care. She currently is the women's ministry director for a church in Western Oregon. And she and her husband, John, are parents of two, grandparents of eight, and the grandparents of one. She still looks 40, too. Sherry loves to speak for women's events and retreats where her overdeveloped sense of humor and her quest to show how practical God's word is intersect. And now before we get on with Sherry, we're going to tell you a little bit about our other guest who just happens to be her business partner and daughter, Christina Tarabocchia. I said it, too. She holds a BA in literature, yet she loves a good calculus problem as well, which I do not understand. Captain of a winning family feud team, Christina is a purple belt in Taekwondo and would love to own a de-scented skunk. Her debut novel, The Familiar Stranger, which I read and it was absolutely excellent, and I let my mother read, and she loved it, and I gave it to my sister, who lives in Illinois, and despite instructions to send it back, it still lives in Illinois because it's that good. The Familiar Stranger was a 2010 Christie finalist and Carol Award winner. She is the mom of five and married to a prince she found on eHarmony. She ran a thriving editing business before starting her newest venture, publishing. As a publisher at Ashbury Lane, she has overseen the release of 6 books and the contracting of 9 others. Find out more about her on www.ChristinaTarabocchia.com or www.AshburyLane. Welcome, ladies.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
So good to be with you.
And I want to know, are we going to talk about steel-cut oats or quick-cut oats?
I gave my great-granddaughter strawberry instant oatmeal today. So,
mother, instant?
I am sad. I'm sad. I really didn't expect that from you, Sherry. You know who introduced me to steel-cut oats was Dan Penwell, who used to be the editor from AMG Publishers, managing editor before he passed away four and a half years ago. Very sad time.
Yes.
Okay, Sherry, let's start with you. We're talking about all the things, places where God takes us where we don't expect, and we're not talking about strawberry oatmeal and Christina's shock at you. We're talking about other things. So tell us a little bit about your life. I mean, this is really interesting.
Well, when I got married at 18, I married a man whom I'm still married to now, almost 44 years later. But he was an electronics engineer. So I thought we had this nice, fancy life planned out. And then 2 years into our marriage, God called him into ministry. Mm. And we went away to seminary. So I thought, okay, so I'll be a pastor's wife. I can do that. And then about 4.5 years into being a pastor's wife, we were both called into foreign missions and went and served for 3.5 years in Nigeria, West Africa. So that was something that was totally not on my game plan when I said I do at the altar. And you said
you both felt called, right? That's what I just heard you say, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so God changed it for you. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. So when we were missionaries, we thought that's what we'll do for the rest of our lives. That's God's game plan for us. Then I became very ill with a rare tropical disease, and we had to come home because of that. So that was another big transition. Oh, I thought we knew what God wanted, and now this unexpected thing is happening.
Hmm.
And so when I went back to school in my 40s and got my nursing degree, I thought, okay, I'll do that. And then decided, no, that was not really what I wanted to do long-term either. And we started the writing. And just one thing, life just keeps changing. And that's what I love about it. I'm not afraid of change. Mm-hmm. I thrive on change. I get bored. Other than living with the same man, I get bored if things stay the same.
Oh, I misspoke. I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
God changes things up in life.
Hmm. What do you think the secret to accepting change might be then, Sherry? Because you've obviously had some major shifts in where you lived, in your health, and different things. What has caused you to lean into that instead of getting upset about it?
One of the things is that verse where Paul says, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. And when we moved to Nevada, which was the ugliest place I've ever been at, I had to go, I've learned in whatever state, even Nevada, I'm in, to be content. You know,
she doesn't feel that now. Listener, she doesn't feel that way now. For any of you listening who live in Nevada, she loves Nevada now. That was just the way she felt
Nevada
at the time.
Now that I'm not there. No, we were out in the middle of nowhere, Nevada. But I think the biggest part is just knowing that God is in control, and God is going, whatever God has for us, it's going to be the very best thing for my life. The most recent thing was 5 years ago when our son was arrested. This is another thing all in itself. But suddenly going from having a grown son serving prison sentence, that's a whole unexpected thing. And the lessons I've learned over the last 5 years have just been tremendous. But it's mostly just trusting God that He absolutely 100% knows what is best for me.
Great answer.
Christina, Tell us a little bit about yourself. You had two of your own children before you started doing foster care. So take us through all those twists and turns in your life. In your life.
Well,
yeah.
That's interesting listening to what Mom said, because it is trusting God but also being willing to listen to Him when you hear all the transitions that my mom and dad went through in careers. They could have said, nope, this is what I went to school for, this is what my degree is in,
yeah.
and stuck with it, but they were willing to listen. And so I had had two birth children, and then we had always wanted a third. And so we took the foster care classes here in Oregon and got our first placement. Was very short, and then our next placement was two little ones that were 11 months apart, 1.5 mm-hmm. and 2.5, and did not know any kind of boundary. So it was a very challenging few months that they were with us. I think they were with us for 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they left, I mean, it was, I knew that that's what God wanted us to be doing, because it was exhausting and exasperating, and yet I felt filled up at the end of the day, because we knew we were giving these kiddos a safe place. But when they left, we said, whew, okay, that was really intense. Let's take a break from fostering for a while, just kind of hunker down with our kids, get that calm and feeling peaceful again. And so we had all decided this. At this point, my husband and I and my kids were sharing a home, a multi-generational home with Mom and Dad. And so Mom and Dad were also involved in grandparent fostering. And so we all decided, the six of us together, that we were taking a break. And then the phone rang. And the county was trying to place a little girl who was the worst burn victim they had ever seen in the county, and she had a fractured skull, and she had a broken toe, and she was so malnourished she couldn't even hold the diaper up, and they really needed someone who could handle the medical care, which was about an hour in the morning and an hour at night to care for the burn, and they knew it was going to be a hard placement. Well, I knew that Mom had that nursing background, even though she wasn't a nurse at that time, and there was just something in my heart that said, maybe we're supposed to take her. We were fostering with the purpose of finding a child who fit our family to ultimately adopt. And I thought, what if this is that one and we say no? So I went downstairs to talk to Mom about it, because she was the one who was home, and I needed to call the DHS agent back pretty quickly. And Mom had just been reading about Moses and how he was walking on the mountain and had to look to the side to see the burning bush. He had to deviate from his path that he thought he was taking on the mountain when the bush was burning by him. And if he had not gone over to the bush, then, you know, he would have missed what God was going to tell him there. And then when I started telling her about this little girl, she said her hand is burned, and it just was an unexpected thing of this burning bush, and then there's this burned hand, and we are supposed to leave our path and go listen to what God is saying over there. Mm-hmm. So we did. We took her into care, and she is now our daughter, and she will be celebrating 4 years adopted, 6 years with us next month. It just a completely unexpected thing. You know, we thought we had that path settled, and then here she came, and she is the joy of our life. She is a bottomless bucket of love that just pours out happiness and joy and love for the Lord all the time. So,
And she healed up beautifully then under your
she
care.
She did.
Oh, the pictures I
threw
out.
She is
a
beautiful.
Been a burn victim at all.
No,
she's
she
just
will
a
show
beautiful
her
child.
Hand.
Yeah.
And she'll say, Jesus made it better. She would come and pray to ask us, say, pray Jesus as a two-year-old and give us her hand when it was hurting. And she knew from that young of an age that he could heal her from her hurts, which we all have hurts and we all need to know what, you know, to go to the healer for that.
Wow.
Yeah. And Christina, I know you've had another interruption to your history, too, with the breakup of one marriage and
yes.
finding your delightful new Prince Charming.
Yes,
how did
again,
that change,
completely.
How did you work through that?
That was another completely unexpected thing. We had He had been unfaithful about 7 years into our marriage, and we had gone to counseling. We had lived separately. We had gone through certain steps and had a recommitment ceremony. And from that point on, I thought, again, that I would be married to him forever. And the Lord just came in and took away the patterns of my wifeness, my wifely actions and words that were not encouraging and not building up. I really wanted to try and have kind of a control over my husband in those first years of our marriage, and I was able to give that up and just really accept him and forgive him and love him for who he was. And so that was a gift from the Lord to have that time together. And then about 6 years later, within a one-hour span, it came out that he was leaving for another woman, and it was a shocker. There were no signs. We were living with my parents still at that time in our two houses put together, and they had not seen any signs. None of our friends knew. And so within an hour, I went from feeling I was happily married to 13 years of marriage gone. And I had loved him for more than half my life by that point. I met him when I was 15. And, you know, he's the mother of my two kids, and we were in the process of getting ready to adopt our Liliana, and then he left. And I would say that the things for me in that unexpected change was going back again to the trusting God. I forgave him at the door because I knew that this was about him and not about me, and that I had been able to be the wife I wanted to be, that God had given me the strength and changed me, given me a new heart for those next 6 years. So I had a blamelessness in that, not a perfection, but a blamelessness. And then when he left, I turned to the Lord in a way that I had never been able to before, in a very weird way, because my husband was, you know, the spiritual leader of our home. But now God needed to be, I needed Jesus to be my husband, my provider, my protector, you know, my children's father, and all of that. And so I fell in love with God in a way that was so much deeper than even what I had before. And so I'd say one of my favorite quotes is that God will never ask you to put down something unless he has something better for you to pick up. And I would have tried to hold on to that marriage, and I had no idea that by putting it down and trusting in God's plan, that 5.5 years later now, I'm in a blended family, 5 kids, the most amazing supportive husband. And again, God has just healed my heart where I can trust and love and you know, have really been blessed in this new opportunity.
I like how you explained that with God not asking us to lay something down, and not you scraping and running after what God is saying is done. Yeah.
And where's that verse, your maker is? Sorry, where's that verse, your maker is your husband? Isaiah, isn't it?
I don't know, but I do know that he became my husband. He
really did, and you lived that out in a real way for all of us to look at, which is a wonderful.
It might
thing.
Be Isaiah 54:5 or something in there.
Oh,
people
look at her!
Giving me
look
the,
at Maxine.
Have given me that in my situation as a widow. People have sent me that verse.
Yes.
It might be the 54:5. Mm-hmm. So I hear you on what you're saying with that providing.
I'm sure that you've experienced that, where it's a different kind of support that the Lord is in your life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think even some women who are still married experience that when their husbands are doing things that are difficult. I think then their maker becomes their husband. Okay, Maxine, you had a question. Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
I had a question.
I thought, if not, let's talk about Ashbury Lane.
I had a comment
about time.
Did the ladies want to bring up anything about Angela first before we move into the...
I did want to tell you
that. With us, but that will probably fit right in nicely with your publishing. With
yes,
Ashbury Lane.
And Yes. So if she were here, I know that she would want to share this story. She has a blog called Romancing the Throne, and it's exactly what we're talking about being in love with God. And she, we call each other our twin because the same things happen to us. She also had a husband that the marriage ended in a very, very similar way, and we also found our husbands in around the same time period, and our first books released at the same time and things like this. But she had been at a writing conference and had prayed, and I wish I knew the exact phrase, but I think it was, Lord, let me rely on you. Don't let me have anything in front of you. And then came home to find that her marriage was over, and
wow.
Here she's saying, Lord, no, that's not what I meant when I prayed
that's
that.
Not what I meant,
you know, but but then what she's been able to do is have this unexpected ministry of women who are hurting, women who are in a marriage that is maybe struggling with infidelity or abuse, and she's been able to talk to them as she's healed through her marriage, and then also has written romance novels that kind of deal with that, falling in love with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Maxine, did you? Okay, I'll take a turn then. Okay.
I think it's your turn, Jeannie.
Okay. I'm trying to share here. Tell us a little bit about Ashbury Lane. That's the recent unexpected change in your lives, and that is really exciting. I'm so impressed that you guys would do that. It's like, most people just don't have the courage, including me. I would never have the courage for that. So go ahead.
Well, you know, this is Sherry. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm walking around in my mother's high heels when it comes to it, because it is so new. It's just something that we didn't expect at all. It came about just a little over a year ago when Christina and I were getting ready to publish our co-authored book, On the Threshold. We had made it through publishing boards for several different houses, got very close to being published, and then one thing or another would happen. And we believed so strongly in the message of this novel that we thought, we've got to get this out. This is something that needs to be told. So we formed Ashbury Lane. Ashbury Lane actually is a real place in my little community of Gaston, and comes from Christina's former married name and the first part of my name, so Ashbury. We decided we would start our own publishing house just to get our own books out there. And that's where it started, with just, okay, we can handle that. We can do something for ourselves. Then God took it far beyond that. Christina, you probably want to tell about what happened with Diane.
Right. Well, then after our book released and was starting to garner some good reviews, and people really loved the cover design by our Nicole Miller, who
I like
just
that
so
too.
Talented.
Mm-hmm.
It's the blue of the door. If you can look it up, listeners, it's On the Threshold, and it's got this beautiful blue door that just symbolizes so much of the story. And a woman that I had known from meeting at Oregon Christian Writers contacted us, and I had also done editing for her in the past. And she said that she had a slow-moving cancer and that she had a 6-book historical series that she would love to get out. And I knew her writing was fantastic from having edited her. So we looked at the books and then contracted all 6. So it's set in 1940s, a fictional Scottish Isle with an American bomber pilot and RAF nurse, and just the sweetest, purest romances that I've ever read, and it was just a pleasure to work on them. So we started working. Nicole started designing the covers. We got live models from Portland. That was unexpected. For the Lord to just place models who were willing to work for the pictures, a photographer who was willing to work for the credit. Just time and again, God would make a place for something we didn't expect we would be able to afford or be able to coordinate. And these beautiful covers came out. And we were able to present them to Diane. And then, unfortunately, 10 days before the release of her first book, she passed on to Glory.
Oh.
And that was very, very bittersweet. We could not have worked any harder. The cancer just really sped up. She was supposed to have about 4 or 5 years, and instead it was about 3 months, maybe even less than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very excited because this weekend we get to go meet with her family and share some beautiful art from her covers to give to them for a memorial service. So it's kind of come full circle in this year. And then after we did her contracts, then another author, Bonnie Leon, she's published for 20 years. She said, I want to go back and fix my first book. I write so differently from that now. So we contracted her. And then once we contracted her, I mean, the floodgates really just opened in an unexpected way.
Yeah.
So now we have the unfortunate task of having, you know, we're limited by our resources of how many books we can do per year. We can't just do every great book. And so now we're having to say no thank yous to authors just like we got for so many years. And that's a tough part. But
makes you feel a little better. Makes you feel a little better about yourself, doesn't it, when you know you're getting great books and it's just because you can't do them?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
And it also makes me hope that the authors will really understand that it isn't their writing. It is because we just did something like that, or we're doing 4 middle grades, which is our new thing. Mom, do you want to tell about the new?
You know what? I hate to say this.
But I
have let the show get out of control because I was just enjoying listening to you guys, and we are almost out of time. Maxine, you want one question quick? I am sorry, Sherry. I wish
we could move the conversation along over to the Oregon Christian Writers, and both of you are going to be at that conference, right?
Right. We are, and we're meeting with authors.
Mm-hmm.
And our book, On the Threshold, is up for the Cascade Awards, so we're very excited about that.
Oh, yay, that's great.
Yeah. And I would say to any readers or any listeners and writers, that no matter where you are in the nation, it is one of the top conferences. And it is not too late to sign up and go. We met Angela that has our newest release, The Waterfight Professional, this hilarious middle grade novel. We met Diane there. We met Bonnie there. We met Nicole.
They're forgetting us. She's forgetting us, Maxine. She's forgetting us. And I met Angela and I met Christina and Sherry. We're gonna have to say goodbye, listeners.
Okay.
I wish we had longer, but we don't. You guys were great.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of 1,000 Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at the river. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.